Mandy McAllister will tell you, mindset is everything. I'm going to try and take that one step further. Mindset is everything because not only does it determine what you are able to accomplish, but it determines also what you make of what you get in return.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
George Roberts is a multifamily investor and syndicator at Horizon Multifamily. They are focused on value-add opportunities in Central Florida, and he's also a founder of Walnut Grove Homes, an upscale residential construction company based in Troy, Michigan, which reached seven-figure status in 2021. George also hosts The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. It's a podcast that's devoted to entrepreneurs focused on syndication, as well as both active and passive multifamily real estate investment. He's currently working on his two first apartment syndications, 34 units in Knoxville, Tennessee, 104 units in Louisville, and also owns a 14-unit apartment in Orlando as a joint venture, which is nearing the end of a very heavy reposition. George is also a passive investor in 468 other doors. George, you got a lot going on, man. I look forward to having you on the show today. Thanks for showing up.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's great to be here.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. The same three questions I ask everyone who comes on the show. Can you very quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Okay, great. So where did I start? Family landlord about 10 years ago. It was a great place to be. You know, I love the cash flow and didn't really take it too seriously. Didn't look at it as a business until much further along. What I'm investing in now is multifamily. Just great place to be. It's the same old idea, only with those economies of scale. And the opportunity to build an amazing team, which is something you don't really get to do as a single family investor, not to the same degree. And how did I get here? I'd say is dogged determination. Everything I've done from completing a PhD to becoming an investor, having multiple side hustles, determination is the best thing that will see you through any event.
Talk to us about that. I mean, what's your source of determination? What drives you?
Well, you've always just got to want that desired thing, whatever it may be, more than you want your present life. And if you want it well enough, you know what happens, right? You find a way. And if you don't, you find excuses.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely well said. What have been some things that you've had to overcome with determination that were setbacks or roadblocks in your investing journey?
Oh, I was going to actually take it a step back further. We're talking about determination in general. I would say health issues early in life, had some issues with my joints, some arthritis, osteoarthritis. And I got to tell you, that's a pretty major thing to overcome. Had to figure out how to do things more on the computer, lost a little weight, focused on low impact exercises. So I would say just right from a very young age, I had that lesson. Went into doctoral studies. Again, it's all about determination, right? It's an intellectual achievement. But I'll tell you what, you don't go through the valleys. You don't get to stand on the mountain unless you have that determination. So as for investment and how determination is seeing me through there is that it's always been a side hustle for me. So I've always got multiple things going on, multiple entrepreneurial ventures, and still working in fintech as in a data science role. And so still using that old PhD still comes in handy. But again, yeah, it's all about determination. You got to find a way to make those evenings and weekends really productive when it's a side hustle.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're in fintech right now. You're also running a residential construction company. Is that correct?
So actually, the residential construction company had the opportunity to sort of move aside. So my sister and brother-in-law are taking that. So I did help them to get that launched. And that was very exciting. What I would say is that really, I was really bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. So as I mentioned, when I was a single family landlord, I didn't really look at it as a business. I thought of it, yeah, well, this is an investment. This is good. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. But hey, I'm in the lab all day long. I really didn't look at it. I didn't feel the excitement. But when I got into construction, I did. I felt that true excitement. I don't know what to say. You've either felt it or you haven't. And if you're listening to today's podcast, you've probably felt it. And once I did, it's like a light went on. And from that moment, it's like, I've got to have an entrepreneurial venture. So I thought, what do I know, right? I know landlording. I know real estate. And I have this fintech background. So I want something that rolls it all together, and multifamily, or I should say commercial real estate in general, is just the way to do that. It has all the pieces of the pie. And because it is a team sport, it doesn't really matter how busy you are. You can definitely play a role on the team.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Talk to us before we get into kind of what you're doing in real estate. Tell us what you're doing in fintech and maybe give us some insight into what you see, if you see, you know, again, I'm talking outside of my league here, so I'm going to lean on you on this question. But what do you see are the technological opportunities inside of real estate?
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to ask me about inflation when you mentioned finance. But what I would say is that in fintech, I build models, and that really suits who I am. Okay. I come from an empirical science background. And so I take a different approach to that. I have statistics. I understand statistics, but I'm not coming from the background of just understanding computer science or statistics. I'm an experimentalist, and I build models that help the business make better decisions. And that's really exciting because, you know, as an entrepreneur, I am a decision maker. And so that ability to lean on data is a very important thing. Now, as for what technology is going to take us to the next level in multifamily or commercial real estate, I don't know, but it's happening all over, right? We got the Internet of Things nowadays, everything potentially from your keyless entry all the way to changing even the windows, right? People think of things like thermostat as being like a smart technology, but you've got all kinds of things. Like even I grew exotic plants. Now I got a single remote control and all the lights go on and off, which is a great thing because there's a lot of UV. Anyway, that does not really impact the commercial real estate space. But just to get you thinking, I mean, literally everything we do these days can be linked together. So I think it's going to be something with that Internet of Things.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Walk us through fintech. What is a day job? What does that even mean? I mean, for a guy outside of that space, what does that mean?
Well, I try to avoid that in a detailed way. But yeah, for me, it's a pretty busy day. It's a lot about time management. And again, you know, having learned to be an experimentalist gives me, I think, an edge, a leg up. And so I manage my time. I've got a virtual assistant, and that really helps. So I focus on certain themes during the day. And then in the evening, I'm a little more freed up to focus on entrepreneurial ventures.
Right, right. I gotcha. Okay, very good. So let's talk then maybe about how you got started in how you broke into commercial real estate, what that looked like. And, you know, just talk us a little about that journey.
Yeah, well, a very exciting journey. One of the things I've noticed a total commonality among all my contacts is I am connected with people who used the pandemic to their advantage. Now, just before the pandemic, I was going to every meetup in town, watching 10,000 YouTube videos, and I literally found my team just before COVID shut everything down. And I'm in Michigan too, so we shut down earlier than a lot of people. So I just barely made it in. And I got to say that has been one of the most exciting ventures. You got to seize the day. You got to take every opportunity you can find today because you don't know what can happen tomorrow. And let me tell you, it could have been very different if I had not found that team ahead of time. So then during the pandemic timeframe, I'm finding deals. I actually became a hard money lender. I invested in other people's deals and just literally used all that time that I wasn't out on the road, on the bus, whatever, reclaimed all that time and rolled it, plowed it all into entrepreneurship.
That's fantastic. So what were some of the first deals you got done and what did you like and what did you not like about them?
Okay. Yeah. Well, why don't we start with the hard money? What I liked is 12%. That sounds amazing, right? I'm getting 12%, beats the hell out of being a landlord, right? I'm getting a better return than I did as a landlord. And guess what? I'm doing hardly anything. On the front end, sure, I vet the deal. After that, I collect the check. So I like that. What I didn't like is that next thing I realized is why am I not an LP in multifamily deals, which I had already been long on that journey. And so, you know, I would say to people, look, if you're out there in the single family space and you're wanting to make the jump, just do it. Because if you are working with any kind of a decent deal sponsor, if you've got your deal halfway decently, likelihood is high that you, like me, will find that you're able to do much better, even passively, than you can as an active operator in the single family space. So that jumping up to the multifamily space and how I did that, again, it was just all about finding the team. Once I found the team, somebody brought the deal to me. And again, with so many ventures, that was really key. It's hard for me to be out there doing the underwriting and making all the connections to the brokers. So really happy to perform other roles like asset management. I love raising capital. I love due diligence. It's just, to me, it's all about the deal. The finance end of it is really exciting. The deal, the deal, the deal. So I found that first joint venture. And everybody talks about the law of the first deal. And it's so true, right? You go out there, you look for that 100 units or more, and that's great if you find it. But if you find something that pencils, absolutely take it because you will get more credibility out of doing a 5, a 10, or a 20 unit than you will by any number of other activities, events, or steps along the way.
So you said, hey, you met your team, you met your people that are doing good stuff, and you said, I'd like to partner with you. How did that conversation go?
So I was really lucky. I went to a meetup near my house, and I was really thinking, everybody says, oh yeah, multifamily is advanced technique. Do this for a long time, you know, get 5-10 single family houses. I think that's the worst advice. That is the worst advice. If you have the inclination, and if you're the sort of person that wants to go into multifamily, just do it. Make your first deal in multifamily. And it doesn't matter, even if it's residential multifamily. You house hack a duplex or a triplex or a quad, you are well on your way. And it's the concept. I think this concept that counts, right? Five or more is commercial. And that's a very important cutoff. But whatever you do, even doing a duplex is going to beat the hell out of your average single family deal. So somebody came to me, and I just went there because it was easy. It was close. Next thing you know, this guy says, hey, we'll teach you how to underwrite deals. I thought, well, that's perfect. Let's do it. Now he and I were actually running the local meetup. So it was a pretty amazing turnaround. So from there to the pandemic to then getting to meet people face to face, we came out on the other end running that group. And it's a great story. Every time I go there, I just think, you know, I started out on the other end of the table not so long ago.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of those things that once you get your niche and you figure out how to stay in your lane, I mean, it's not that hard. Have you brought anything to, I know you said you love to build models. Obviously, you know, you're very computer savvy and very detailed. So have there been any things on the underwriting side that you really felt like you tweaked in a meaningful way as opportunities were brought to you?
Sure. I mean, I think that it's all about diligence, really. I mean, when you talk about the numbers that go into a commercial real estate transaction, it's not rocket science. It's about diligence. It's about getting things right, figuring out what in this market everything ought to go for. It's about having the contacts and knowing, you know, what you can get your property management. And it's also about really, I mean, these days, I would say it's about creativity. You don't really look at what the property is worth and make an offer and probably win it, right? I mean, you have to get really creative. And so if you don't have the idea that, hey, you know, we're going to put in a dog park and these people are not allowing pets, if you're not getting creative, and that's why I would say that it's not really a numbers game, right? You can't be a number phobe and survive. But once you get to the point of, hey, I can balance my checkbook and I don't mind numbers because I see the end game, you have enough math savvy to do this. And it's really all about finding the story behind the numbers. I'll tell you about a great deal in East Tennessee. We're going to close on this at the end of the month. This is mid-November as we speak, 2021. And the story behind this is a personal relationship. My great friend, Tom Kirkpatrick out in East Tennessee, he's been working on this deal for 5 years. He got to know the property manager slash handyman, and we were literally the only player on the field. Rents haven't been raised in 3 years. And so when I say that the rents are under market, I'm serious. We actually put a Facebook ad out, and we found that people were willing to pay nearly $250 above the current average asking rent at that complex with the current pictures. We aren't tweaking anything. And we're getting tons of incoming messages within 24 hours.
Wow.
So talk about like validating the plan. So that's what you got to do. You got to get out there and you got to be diligent. Like that's going one step ahead, right? Everybody's going to do market research, but we put out the Facebook ad. We actually validated that rents, yes, there is a significant loss to lease.
Right, right. And the value you create, you know what that is. My goodness, that's incredible. If you can raise rents without increasing any expenses, I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I like to call an idiot-proof plan, right? Even if the construction doesn't go our way, lumber goes up 400%, whatever. We're sitting pretty with that deal. So I love it.
Absolutely, man. Now, I understand that you love to sail. Is that correct?
I do. That's one of the passions of my life. So there was a time in my life that I was feeling a little behind the eight ball, needed a change. So we got a small sailboat and just literally started to explore Lake Erie, living on that tiny thing, but loving it.
That's awesome. Talk to us about some of the gotchas in sailing, and then tell me maybe, are there any correlations to the gotchas in commercial real estate?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you got to know your limits. I remember some of the foolish things I did when I was new. We were sailing out of the River Raisin, which was super industrial. And, you know, I'd tie up the tiller and I'd get out on the deck and I'd lift the sails and everything. And you know what I realized is like, what the hell? One of those freighters, you know, if that thing comes untied, that's curtains. So definitely learned to know my limits and to take a step back. And the main thing is you want to be sailing tomorrow. But I would say just learning about people. I mean, wow, 4 people, 25 feet, really get to know your family well when you like that. It's like camping. It's like camping, only a lot more comfortable, right? You don't go for just a weekend, we go out for weeks and amazing adventures. And my wife, and this was part of an award-winning Toastmasters speech, I'll tell you, she started out like, you know, calling everything a thingamajigger. And I keep trying to tell her, you know, you got to know the name of everything, right? You know, that line right there, that's the halyard, right? And there are two of them and you need to know the difference. But we got stuck in this squall and it was completely not predicted, right? Perfectly clear day, nothing in the forecast. And the wind just came up and started whipping us around. And, you know, I'm out there and I'm being really calm, right? Because I think that's a thing to do, right? You don't show fear out on the water or everybody who's with you is going to be literally terrified. So even the hint of fear, and I think that's a real lesson for leadership, right? You know, when I started to lead people, I realized that even, you know, raising an eyebrow, like people take that, like you can see it on their face. If you make the slightest facial gesture, you got to realize how you impact people. So I'm out there calm as can be out at the tiller. And finally, this voice from down below, my wife says, you know, like, tell me what to do. And I'm thinking, this is my wife telling me what to do. Usually she's Miss Independent. But after that, and she did, and she came through, like I told her, you know, hey, you can help me take down the jib. And that was perfect because that was what was whipping us around. And I just can't control that from the cockpit. And so she took it down. By the time she did, the storm was over, but we had a completely different relationship, not only to each other, but to the water. So again, you got to get out there. And so what is the big lesson? I would say is you got to know your limits and you got to, again, you got to get your systems in place, right? So now, hey, we got systems in place. She knows what to do if an unexpected storm tears through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and that's it in real estate investing too. You're going to have an unexpected storm. I mean, I always say, if you've never lost money in real estate, I don't want to invest with you, right? Because you've just not been tested yet. And so the same idea there where it's like, you've got to have your systems and procedures. You've got to have been through a few storms and go, oh, wait, we know how to weather this when the going gets tough. Talk to us, you know, your podcast there, The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. What's that about? And it is called, what kind of walk us through the flow of that show and how that works.
Absolutely. And I'll just segue with another leadership quote. They say that anyone can be captain in calm seas. So The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily, is all predicated on the idea that entrepreneurship is one of the greatest proving grounds for leadership talent. When you look at somebody like Henry Ford, he was 37 when he started tinkering in his own right. Mm. He was 40 when he founded Ford Motor Company. You look at somebody like Steve Jobs. So he was already an engineer and a leader before he founded the company. But it was when he started executing on his own vision that his career took off. He ended up running literally one of the largest companies in the world, and he took it from zero. That's amazing. And so when I look at my own life, I didn't look at myself as an entrepreneur or a leader. I looked at myself as a tech guy. But once I got bitten by the bug, nothing more than that helped me to kick things up to the next level, to become a great communicator, and to do the things that I needed to do to develop as a person. And for me, if entrepreneurship is about anything, it's about personal growth. If you're working for someone else, that's great. And I still do that, right? And it's still a good gig. And it's still good to be working for someone else. But there's nothing like going out there and being thrown in the deep end that will help you develop as a person. So what is it about? It's all about entrepreneurship. It's about leadership and about mindset. Because I like nothing more than interviewing those people that will remind you things. Like Mandy McAllister will tell you, mindset is everything. I'm going to try and take that one step further. Mindset is everything because not only does it determine what you are able to accomplish, but it determines also what you make of what you get in return, right? I mean, you could have any amount of money, and if you don't appreciate it, you're poor.
Right? Yeah. Wow. I've never heard it said that way. Can you phrase that or say that again for us? Your mindset isn't what you can accomplish, but it's what you, how'd you put that?
Well, your mindset determines what you're able to accomplish, but also what you make of what you accomplished.
Right.
And it's true. Like your relationships, your marriage, your job, your career, your entrepreneurial venture, what you have in life, even from the monetary standpoint, again, it's kind of trite, but people say it's not getting what you want, but wanting what you got. And it's 100% true. If you have the mindset that I have everything I need in the world and I just want to grow, then you're rich. And if you feel like I want, I gotta have, then you're poor.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's great. I look forward to tuning into The Foundry. and listening to some of your episodes on that. That sounds like a lot of fun. George, let's jump here into the final few questions. I appreciate everything that you've shared with us today, learning about sailing, learning about the correlation there between that and real estate, learning about how you've gotten into real estate and, you know, growing your commercial side of things, the deals, the way you look at them. Love all those things. And I certainly appreciate that. Final three questions for you are this. If you could help the listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Right. We waited a little too long to get property management. We had full-time construction for our heavy reposition, but there's so much value to that. And even if, hey, you're on site and you could be doing it and you feel like it's no skid off, they understand the rents, they understand the amenities, and better than you ever will from your market analysis, they'll tell you what the granite countertops are worth. They'll tell you what it means to have stainless steel or whether black appliances are plenty enough.
Right. So you're saying lean on your property management instead of trying to do it all yourself.
Absolutely. They're going to have advice for your market and probably deals too that you would have never had in such detail. And these are going to be deals that you would not have seen.
Right. That's great. That's great advice. Next question. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
So I love to give. Any chance I get, I just love to be charitable and just taking care of my own children. You know, the more time you spend with your kids, that is next generation thinking.
Right. Right. Man, love that. Great answer. George, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
All right. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm there all the time, evenings and weekends, at least, Horizon Multifamily. If you head out there, definitely set up a call. And if not, you can at least download my free ebook. And again, find me on The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. So come out and find my podcast. And if you're a syndicator, an entrepreneur, then reach out and I'd love to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, George.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.